This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, data journalist Sandra Fish covers campaign spending for the Colorado Sun. Gun sales shattered records this year, and law enforcement agencies are mobilizing for potential civil unrest around the election. And Colorado has a new state park near Trinidad. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
A record number of watercraft this season were found to be infested with invasive mussels, reports Aspen Journalism. The zebra and quagga mussels are native to Eastern Europe, breed quickly, and can devastate fisheries and damage pipes and hydroelectric equipment. Inspections found 94 infested boats in the state this year, the most ever since inspections began in 2008. The town of Paonia recently allocated $55,000 for grants to help local businesses with COVID-19 pandemic-related costs, reports the Delta County Independent. Paonia businesses are encouraged to apply, including corporations, individual contractors, and nonprofits. Eligible expenses include such things as rent, payroll, personal protective equipment, and cleaning supplies. The maximum award per business is $5,000. Hotchkiss is seeking community input on economic development projects. The town completed its Hotchkiss Prosperity Plan in 2019, but was unable to act on it due to the pandemic, reports the Delta County Independent. Now the town is asking community members to share thoughts and ideas on improvements, such as making downtown more walkable and pedestrian-friendly. For more information, contact Kim Shea at 970-210-1117. Norwood is offering a free flu shot clinic on Wednesday the 4th. You must pre-register. Contact San Miguel County for more information. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
Americans bought a record number of guns this year. Now, law enforcement agencies in our region are mobilizing for potential civil unrest around the election. Mountain West News Bureau's Bo Baker reports.
In Denver, police are beefing up their monitoring and management strategies in anticipation of possible post-election turmoil. Las Vegas law enforcement says the prospect of election unrest has been on their radar since May. And in Utah?
I think the best way to put it is we always hope for the best and plan for the worst.
That's Detective Michael Ruff with the Salt Lake City Police Department. Ruff said law enforcement and election officials have been planning for months how to handle a variety of scenarios on Election Day. Above all, he wants voters to be confident.
We are here to make sure that everybody has a chance to cast their vote, and we take our oath seriously, and we will be there to make sure that those polling places are safe.
Concerns over civil unrest prompted Walmart to pull guns and ammo from its sales floors across the country. The retail giant has since reversed course, and guns are going back in their displays. U.S. gun sales began to spike in the spring with the pandemic, but jumped again in the summer as racial justice protests grew. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Bo Baker.
Colorado has a new state park. KVNF's Capitol coverage reporter Scott Franz has more on what the first visitors will find at Fisher's Peak near Trinidad in the southern part of the state.
With 19,000 acres of mostly undeveloped land, Fisher's Peak is Colorado's second largest state park, and for now, visitors can only experience a small part of it. A couple of short hiking trails end with views of the park's most prominent feature, a nearly 10,000-foot peak formed by ancient lava flows from the Raton Mesa. Rhonda Epper is the president of Trinidad Junior College. At a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Friday, she said her students have been waiting for years to access the land.
This park has the potential to inspire a new generation of scientists, conservationists, trail builders.
The state says it will eventually add campgrounds and other amenities to the park, but the budget took a multi-million dollar hit because of the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Sandra Fish is a journalist for the Colorado Sun and other outlets who was just named by the Washington Post to their 2020 list of outstanding political reporters to follow. We spoke by phone last week on Local Motion. As a data reporter who follows money in politics, this is such a busy time of year for you. Most Coloradans are inundated right now by election information. For those wanting to know specifically who paid for advertisements on TV, online, or in our mailboxes, you and your colleagues at the Colorado Sun set up a campaign money tracker. Can you tell us about that, please?
Yes, we're tracking spending at the federal level that's reported to the Federal Elections Committee outside spending in these contests, which there is a lot of in the U.S. Senate race and in the 3rd Congressional District race. It increases daily. We're also tracking TV ads, especially in that U.S. Senate race, which is pretty hotly contested.
Well, let's talk about the top spenders in Colorado. We have to start with the race for U.S. Senate between Democrat John Hickenlooper and Republican Cory Gardner. It isn't just those two campaigns or their parties spending money to influence voters in our state. Can you break this one down for us, please?
You know, people should know that the candidates, this is a record-setting U.S. Senate contest for Colorado. John Hickenlooper has raised an amazing amount of money, and so has Cory Gardner, but he's not close to Hickenlooper anymore. But you have all this outside money out there, and you have like Senate Majority PAC on the Democratic side has spent a lot of money up front. They stopped airing ads about a week ago, but they're still the top spender through Sunday with about $10.5 million. The National Republican Senatorial Committee and the Senate Leadership Fund, they're both spending out there on the Republican side. Giffords PAC, which advocates for tighter gun control laws, they've spent some money in that U.S. Senate contest. So those are sort of the top groups, so these outside groups that are really actually affiliated with one party leadership or another.
My guest is Colorado Sun reporter Sandra Fish. In one of your many recent articles, you outlined the three main categories of outside political groups spending money right now. Can you give us that set of categories for people to think about?
You know, there are political party committees, and that's more of like the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee or the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. There are super PACs, and so Senate Leadership Fund is the Republican super PAC. Senate Majority PAC, or SMP, is the Democratic side, and those groups are a little bit linked. And then there are these dark money nonprofits, and both sides have groups like that. Sometimes they're pop-ups that all of a sudden you realize that there's this new group like Duty and Honor was spending money this summer on the U.S. Senate race, and it's connected with a nonprofit, Majority Forward, that's affiliated with the Senate Majority PAC on the Democratic side. You also have these nonprofits at the state level. One of the things about the nonprofits is they're not going to say vote for or vote against. They're just going to say good things or bad things about a candidate and let you make up your mind, I guess.
Keep up the great work, and congrats on being named by the Washington Post as a political reporter to follow. Thanks so much for speaking to KVNF.
Great. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.
You can hear the entire interview with Colorado Sun data journalist Sandra Fish from last week's Local Motion and find all of our election coverage at kvnf.org. That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.